Well, good morning all on this glorious day for America. Yes, it is. We're going to call upon the ever lovely Mrs. Kathy Lear to open us in prayer.
Well, Holy Father, we come to you with joyous hearts. We have much to be thankful for, so much that you provide for us, that you do for us, that you teach us, just the richness of life that comes from you. And certainly here in New England today, in New Hampshire, we look out the window and we see bright sunshine in contrast to what we looked out and saw yesterday, which was snow coming down and snow on the ground. And again, it's a reminder to us that we ought not be complacent about anything, that we shall be mindful, that we should be attentive, that we should be intentional and purposeful in our lives, in the practicalities of life, and certainly as it relates to our love for you and our desire to comply with scriptures, have our lives be aligned with your plans for us. So today, Holy Spirit, we are your willing students. We just pray that your spirit be with Pastor Lear today as he brings this message, the message that you desire us to hear. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's sing our hearts out to the Lord. Raise our voices to him. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will live to the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. He's worthy of exaltation. Yeah, don't you love these fancy words, exaltation? Well, you better know what it means, and you better be doing it, because that's what the Lord wants, and he is truly worthy to be praised. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. You guard me from coronavirus. Amen. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 All the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubims and seraphims falling down before thee, who wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Oh, your God in three persons, blessed Trinity. All thy works shall praise thy name in heaven and earth. All thy works, and let me ask you this, folks. What's the best work the Lord ever did? You look out on a beautiful day, sunny, and see the flowers coming out. That's beautiful. That's a wonderful work. But according to what the Lord says in His Word, you and I, we are His most wonderful work. Because the flowers weren't created in His image. The animals weren't created in His image. We were created in the image of Almighty God. Boy, that puts the onus on us, doesn't it? Well, on this April 19th, 2020, Anno Domini, Year of Our Lord, this is a high holiday for patriots like myself, because it's Patriots Day, the 245th anniversary of the Battle of Lexington. As I have often mentioned, I had numerous of my ancestors on the battle road, whether it was Lexington, Concord, all the way down to Menominee, otherwise known as Arlington, and all the way back to Charlestown and so forth and so on. Various members of my family were there, fighting, standing their ground, fighting back against tyranny and oppression. And so this year, of course, also I want to remind you that today is Orthodox Easter or Resurrection Sunday. So for our Orthodox Christian friends, which means Russian, Armenian, Romanian, Greek, so forth, Orthodox Church, I can say to them, Kalopasha, Christos Anesti. Of course, that's Greek. I can't say it in Russian or Armenian or several other languages, but that is Greek. And we're of mind in our quips and quotes today from Thomas Jefferson, 1816, the principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale. And folks, is that happening right now or not? And the answer is, yes, it is. I now make it my earnest prayer that God would most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without a humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. George Washington, 1783. And by the way, in that passage of his prayer, he was quoting scripture from Micah. So many people who down George Washington should certainly recognize that he is a Christian man. He was a Christian man, and he quoted scripture, and he bowed his knee and bowed his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not believe our labors are lost. I shall not die without a hope that the light and liberty are on a steady advance. Thomas Jefferson, 1821. And though I don't have an end date for Garrett Lear, that's Garrett Lear's also desire, and I hope it is yours as well. If I were given the opportunity to present a gift to the next generation, it would be the ability for each individual to learn to laugh at himself. And that was said by Charles M. Schulz, the creator of Peanuts and Charlie Brown. And I've always liked Charlie Brown's Christmas and so forth and so on. Charles Schulz obviously was a great Christian man. A lot of people have tried to ban him. But there's a good point there, isn't there? That everyone has to have the ability to learn to laugh at themselves. And some of our leaders don't laugh at themselves nearly as much. We're laughing at them because a lot of their decisions are laughable. It is God the Father's time now. He is allowing the cleansing flood to overwhelm us. It is for our good. He is just. He is bringing an end to the wickedness of baby killing, sodomy, and usury. He is calling us on to love through repentance. And 2 Chronicles 7:14, of course, emphasizes that as a key factor in revival. And we're seeing that right now. You can have various views, and everybody is talking about, everyone wants to comment, obviously, on the coronavirus ID-19, because there are many coronaviruses, but this one is ID-19, and everybody wants to comment on it, but sometimes the commentaries themselves seem to be worse than the virus, or the precautions that are taken are worse than the virus itself. And so many of our liberties are being curtailed, and question is being asked. And I posted on my Facebook page, and if you haven't been there, many of you do go to my Facebook page. If you haven't been there, go to my Facebook page, Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear Facebook page, and you will see what I posted from Jim Garlow, a man I respect, saying a lot of things about what's going on with the coronavirus 19 and some of the responses and the concerns we all have is if these liberties, and people like David Barton are saying the same thing as well, if these liberties are being curtailed now, what's going to happen when this coronavirus is over? Are they going to be now restored to their rightful place? And of course, many of us are questioning that because we know who's behind a lot of this stuff, the global elitist eugenicists, people like Bill Gates and George Soros and so forth and so on, who actually have a deep-seated hatred of mankind. Why, I don't know, because mankind, I question this of Michael Bloomberg and a bunch of other people too, de Blasio, the Andrew Cuomo. These people have become fabulously wealthy and famous because people have helped them. Why do they hate people so much? Why do they want to be baby killers? Why do they want to be killers of human beings? But see, that's one of the things we call that the mystery of iniquity. People that are overtaken by demonic powers, and I can guarantee you folks, Nancy Pelosi is still around because of demonic powers, and Charles Schumer, and Jerry Nadler, and a whole bunch of other people, and I'm not just citing people that are Democrats, known as Demoncrats. There's plenty of Republicans in that category as well. and plenty of independents and plenty of libertarians in that category as well. Because the enemy naturally invades everywhere he can and tries to do what? Pervert and corrupt. Well, that's just a little bit of sermonizing before I get to some of these other things. And today being, as I said, Orthodox Easter. Arnold's famous Terminator was a machine made to appear human. COVID-19 is God the Father's Covenator. Covenator. His judgment made to appear as a virus. God is in the business of bringing good out of evil. And you may disagree with that, and that's personally, you can do that. Just a thought. If you're going through hell, keep going. Winston Churchill. So this year at Easter, of course, for some, we celebrated Easter resurrection last Sunday. For some, they're celebrating Easter resurrection today. So this year at Easter, let this be our prayer. As the virus still rages around all the world everywhere, may the world see hope when it looks at God's people. May the world see the church as not a building or a steeple. May the world find faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. May the world find joy in the time of dejection. May 2020 be known as a year of survival. But not only that, let it start a revival. Judge softly. Pray. Don't find fault with the man that limps or stumbles along the road, unless you have worn the moccasins he wears or stumbled beneath the load. There may be tears or tears in his souls that hurt, through though hidden away from view. The burden he bears placed on your back may cause you to stumble and fall too. Don't sneer at the man who is down today unless you have felt the same blow that caused his fall or felt the shame that only the fallen know. You may be strong, but still the blows that were his, unknown to you in the same way, may cause you to stagger and fall too. Don't be too harsh with the man that sins, or pelt him with words or stone or disdain, unless you are sure you have no sins of your own, and it's only wisdom and love that your heart contains. For you know, if the tempter's voice should whisper as soft to you as it did to him when he went astray, it might cause you to falter too. Just walk a mile in his moccasins before you abuse, criticize, and accuse. If just for 1 hour you could find a way to see through his eyes instead of or your own muse, I believe you'd be surprised to see that you've been blind and narrow-minded, even unkind. There are people on reservations and in ghettos who have so little hope and too much worry on their minds. Brother, there but for the grace of God go you and I. Just for a moment, slip into his mind and traditions and see the world through his spirit and eyes before you cast a stone or falsely judge his conditions. Remember to walk a mile in his moccasins and remember the lessons of humanity taught to you by your elders. We will be known forever by the tracks we leave in other people's lives, our kindness and generosity. Take the time to walk a mile in his moccasins. Mary T. Lathrop, 1895. And she lived from 1838 to 1895, was a poet, temperance reformer, and licensed to preach in the Methodist Church. It's been said that a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes. We live in a time of great deception like no other. Some are now coming to understand that, but others are still blind. You may have heard of the French Swiss-born reformer Theodore Beza. He was John Calvin's successor. Wrote in a letter to Scottish reformer John Knox, "They whose citizenship is in heaven ought to have their whole dependence on heaven." And folks, that's where we should be putting our dependence today, no matter what your denomination of Christianity is, what color of Christianity that it is. we put our hope in the Lord God of heaven. I suppose indeed that in public life, a man whose political principles have any decided character and who has any energy enough to give them effect must always expect to encounter political hostility from those of adverse principles. Thomas Jefferson, 1808, and he knew what of he was speaking. And maybe many of us do also. And when you're considering the current threats to liberty and those and all those cast off by our gallant ancestors since the first shots of the American Revolution at Lexington and Concord, the common characteristics of American patriots is that we devote ourselves to sustain something of much greater value than our own self-interest, and we are tempered by the challenge. The shot heard round the world, and is still being heard, isn't it? Echoing throughout the world. George Washington declared, "The value of liberty was thus enhanced by the difficulty of its attainment and the worth of characters appreciated by the trial of adversity." And I can definitely attest to that today, in 2020, that the difficulty of its attainment and the worth of characters appreciated by the trial of adversity. And of course, adversity, or the trial of fire, so to speak, is purifying. It's strengthening. And everyone that's ever made any pots knows that you have to temper them in the fire. Any steel has to be tempered in the fire. Any molten thing like silver has to be heated up so the impurities float to the top or they can be skimmed off. Well, Lord, I pray that my impurities will be skimmed off by you. Yes. Well, there's many more quips and quotes I could bring out, but I don't think I was going to bring many more out. I just want to mention, we do not want to have any circular firing squads. We have a lot of that going on, where we're criticizing our friends in public. That's like being a circular firing squad. And by the way, stop giving the enemy our ammunition. We do not chase the donkey or the elephant. We chase the lamb. Most important thing in the world is family and love. And that by a winning basketball coach, John Wooden, said that. And I believe it is true. Well, I want to borrow from a friend of mine today named Bob Cutting. Thank you, Bob. He has shared some things that I think are worth sharing. So I'm going to read some scriptures here that he has pointed out. As I was discussing this morning with Mrs. Lear, it's always important to give credit to who credit is due. Of course, I give my main credit to Jesus Christ. I wouldn't know anything or be able to understand anything if it weren't for the Holy Spirit teaching me. And we ask for that same teaching today. Holy Spirit, teach us through your word. Teach us through the words we have already heard and the things, because without you, we certainly would be nothing. And that is a theme for our message today, that anger does not produce good results. Now, we know there's a scripture that says to us, be angry, but sin not. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth in Ephesians. But as a theme for us today, if we can use that, anger produces nothing. Anger produces nothing. And there are a lot of people that are angry these days. Very, very angry. And because, according to what I'm stating as a theme today, anger produces nothing. So the angry people are going to make a difficulty. And I had a conversation on the phone the other day with somebody who hung up on me. People sometimes do that. When I said, you're calling people nitwits, halfwits, dimwits, all this kind of stuff. Would you like somebody to call you that? And I said, what does it produce? And he said to me, well, you just called somebody a tyrant. I said that this person is behaving like a tyrant, is being tyrannical. That was a challenge. And other people were saying the same thing about the governor of Wisconsin, Gretchen Whitmer. But she's not a nitwit. She's a very intelligent woman. But she is acting like a tyrant. And I'm challenging her, as people in Michigan are challenging her. I was on a Zoom broadcast or face-to-face with people in Michigan the other day. I travel the world, mostly the country, I should say. Not so much the world, but travel the country from my command center right here in Sanbornville, New Hampshire, in my command chair, on my computer screen. It's amazing what technology can do. Without even getting on an airplane, without paying any ticket price. And people were saying that she's a tyrant. She's behaving like a tyrant. She's not supposed to do that. She doesn't have the constitutional authority to do that. And that, of course, is being discussed across the country. Anger produces nothing. But challenging people on rightful ground and helping them to see what their actions are producing may very well cause them to change their actions, and many times it does. And I use as an example that you may look up about the stamp tax. The stamp tax was one of those taxes that Britain tried to put on us without representation. And it was a heavy tax. And a preacher in Boston named Jonathan Mayhew preached a sermon called The Snare Broken. The Snare Broken. He challenged the British government. He challenged the local British governor who sat in his congregation. Without fear, he challenged him, knowing that he could have been hung, drawn and quartered, or whatever else. He challenged him, and as a result of his challenge, from biblical standpoint, the stamp tax was abolished. Think about that, folks. Okay, I've certainly done my time at protests all over the country, at state capitals all over the country. But many of them I've had to leave because they were angry protests. I've had to leave a lot of sidewalk counseling at abortion meals because the people became so angry who were trying to lead people away from abortion that they became, in many ways, almost as bad as the abortionists themselves, because anger produces nothing. I remember standing in front of an abortion mill in Greenland, New Hampshire, and instead of yelling angry insults to people, I said, please think about what you're doing to your baby and talk to me. You don't have to do this. And I actually had some people stop and talk to me. And after they stopped and talked to me, they turned their car around and left and did not go in and kill their baby. So think about this, folks. And like I said, we're not trying to be a circular firing squad here. We don't want to be giving the enemy ammunition. And by the way, as a trained soldier, one of the reasons why George Armstrong Custer lost at the Battle of Little Bighorn, was because the Indians were so intelligent in warfare, they would send braves in with bow and arrows and shoot soldiers and risk their lives, the Indians risk their lives, and would go and take the soldiers' rifles and pistols and bullets. They're bullet bandoliers. They'd take them, and before long, the Indians weren't using bow and arrows anymore. They were using the soldiers' own guns on them and bullets on them, including on Custer. And so you train in warfare. Don't let the enemy get your ammunition. If you have to, and you can't carry all the ammunition away, then destroy it, but don't let the enemy get the bullets that he'll use to kill you. Do you get the message? Anger produces nothing. And believe me, folks, I've been sanctioned by the Lord many times because of anger. I am quite capable, as I've told people, when you're as big as I am, your adrenal glands are very, very big, and they can fire off. But sometimes we have to back off. Take the time to calm down. Or as they say in common vernacular, chill. Chill. Until you can think more clearly. Because anger also and many particular people in this generation are narcissistic. Narcissist. It's a narcissist generation. Me, me, me. I. Look at me. Look at me. I'm so wonderful. I'm so great. Aren't I beautiful? Aren't I pretty? Pay attention to me. And if they cannot get that attention, they get angry. As if to say, by being more loud, if by saying to be more angry, you'll have to pay attention to me. But it's been found out through the history of the world that angry diatribes may get somebody's attention, but it doesn't hold their attention very long, and as soon as they can get out from underneath that anger, they will. Oh, God help us. When the controlling person wants to make excuses for his anger, he points to the one time that Jesus is said to have been angry. Even if you do not understand Jesus' human side, and that he was overwhelmed with anger at sin rather than people, what are the percentages in his 33-year lifespan for getting angry? I would say much less than 1%. Also, Scripture is full of words and advice against anger. So, I look back on my life and say, I can't say I've only been angry 1% of the time. And of course, we used to use the term, well, it's righteous anger. It's righteous indignation. But here's the problem. By twisting Scripture this way, you're actually exhibiting your anger at God for not writing it the way that you think it should have been written. Think about that. And I've had to say to people, why are you mad at me for this? I didn't write it. I believe it. If you want to be mad at somebody who will handle it a lot better than I do, get angry at God. And the odds are, you're trying to control God. Don't waste your time. You can't control God. Because if you could, he's not God. That's one of the things about heathen idols and all these different, you know, American Indian ghost dances and all this kind of stuff. Trying to control God. We as true biblical Christians, we should not be trying to control God. We should be seeking his face. Lord, I'm not even worthy to look upon you. And you think about the apostles. Peter said he was not worthy to be crucified like his master, like his Lord, so they crucified him upside down. or Thomas died in the cave with a spear in his back by the Brahmin priests that hated him in India, or Andrew, who died on an X, not a cross, but an X, they tied him to it, and he preached and preached until a Roman prelate, a prefect came by and said, "What's this man's crime?" "Oh, he's preaching Jesus." "Oh, that's so what? Cut him down." And when they cut him down, he fell dead. Now, is anger really a good thing for somebody who supposedly has surrendered all? You know, I think about Billy Graham Crusades and George Beverly Shea singing and so forth. That song that became, "I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my Lord and Savior, dear Jesus, I surrender all, except I've got to write a document like a lawyer would. I surrender all except this. I surrender all except that. I surrender all but A, B, and C. I surrender all but 1, 2, and 3. I surrender all but the following provisions, caveats, and exemptions." Now, does that sound laughable to you? Well, that's because it is. But that's the way a lot of people are surrendering all. Now, if we would look at some scriptures, for example, Proverbs 15:1, "Soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful and careless words stir up anger." Remember, anger produces nothing. I can tell you, I should have said, anger produces nothing good, or nothing permanent, or nothing worthwhile. Because I can tell you, I know how to start a fight. And believe it or not, even at my advanced age, I know how to finish one too. But I also know what the Lord has taught me through His Word. "A soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful and careless words stir up anger." I confess to you folks, before Lord God my Savior, I am many times tempted to say other than "a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer." I'm many times tempted to do that. Now maybe you're not. I know that I am. I confess it. But the thing is, we aren't even supposed to be thinking it. We're not supposed to be even calling somebody a fool or raka in the King James. The Lord doesn't, because He knows that from us spending too much time thinking angry thoughts, that anger will eventually erupt like a volcano. And I've seen this in a lot of people's lives. And many people, of course, erupting when you're 4 feet tall and you weigh 70 pounds, your eruption doesn't mean nothing compared to, or anything, excuse me, proper English, proper American, compared to somebody who's 6'7" and weighs in excess of 200 pounds. Do you get that parabolic teaching? Now in Matthew chapter 6 verse 15, "But if you do not forgive others, nurturing your hurt and anger, with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God, then your Father will not forgive you your trespasses." Last week I got called by somebody, and honestly, I wasn't exactly sure. I've known this person for a long, long time. I wasn't sure whether he was provoked of the Holy Spirit or the devil. That may sound a little strange sometimes, because old Slewfoot can appear as an angel of light, deceiving many. Well, this fellow called and he brought up an incident of something some, I don't know, 30 years ago. And he said to me, "Have you forgiven those people?" And I wasn't going to call him back, and I just felt the Holy Spirit leading me to call him back. So I called him back. I said, "Bob, you keep calling me and you keep asking me if I have forgiven those people from 30 years ago. Bob, why are you asking me that? I forgave them 30 years ago when they hurt me. And I have not borne grievance against any of the people, and I've seen many of them and talked to many of them and so forth, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I could not control vengeance. It's a bad thing, because we would have to think that we were an impartial judge. And honestly, after being in front of many judges and being with many judges and being with many people throughout my advanced age, I don't think the only judge that I really trust, could trust, is the righteous judge of all, King Jesus." He said, "Oh, well, okay, well, thank you for letting me know that. Okay. So I don't expect him to call me now, asking me that again, as he's asked me over and over again." "But if you do not forgive others, nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses." If there's anything that would scare you straight, how about that? Because if your Father doesn't forgive your trespasses, I'll put it in the common vernacular, you ain't forgiven. You ain't forgiven. You think about that. If you're harboring resentments and anger against somebody, get it straightened out. The biblical mandate of how it can be straightened out. And in some cases, some things can't be straightened out because some people are already dead, or they're somewhere you don't even know where they are, or whatever. So get it straight with the Lord. Ask the Lord to forgive you. And by the way, no insult intended to any particular denomination that believes that somebody else can confess to, who can forgive you of your trespasses and sins. That is not biblical. Only God Himself can forgive you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. Only they can forgive you, if you want to put it in that terminology. Only He, God, can forgive you. And by the way, maybe your problem is you need to forgive yourself. I've had a problem with that. I've always had a problem with that. Because I honestly expected better from myself than in some cases what I've done. Can you relate to that? Have you thought about that you expected to do better than you did? Now, we can try to excuse ourselves by saying, "Yeah, but the devil made me do it. Made a career out of a comedian named Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it." No, the devil doesn't have the power to make you to do anything. The Lord does, but the devil doesn't. But if you let him whisper in your ear and you paid too much attention to him, you gave ground up you shouldn't have given up. It happens to us all. In one way or another, one degree or another, it happens to us all. But anger produces nothing good. anger produces nothing good. And in Luke, I read it from the Amplified here. Luke 10:25-28. And a certain lawyer, an expert in Mosaic law, stood up to test him, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it? How do you read it?" And he replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and strength," with all your mind, I said that, "and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this habitually and you will live." Do you want to live? I want to live. I called out and cried out to the Lord last week on Easter Resurrection Sunday. And I said, "Lord, I want to live longer. I have some things going on that I've learned to enjoy every day to its fullness a lot better. But I said, I'd like to live a lot longer, at least a while longer, so I can love you more, love my family more, love my fellow countrymen more, and convey your love to them better than I have before." And I got some good news this week when I had to go see a doctor. Actually, some very good news. It wasn't total news like, "Hey, you know, you get miraculously, you have a brand new kidney in you. Your kidney has just become like the kidney of a young person." No, I didn't get that news. I got the news is your old kidney, your one old kidney that you have left, the one that you've had for over 72 years, is functioning pretty well right now. Wow. I call that sort of a provisional miracle, if you will, in lawyer speak, a provisional miracle. I didn't rejoice in that by going out and doing some foolish thing that would belie it, belie the good news. Lots of people do that. They get good news and then they go out and do something stupid right afterwards. Oh, did I use an S word? I'm sorry. Did I say stupid? Isn't that in the Bible, though? Isn't stupid in the Bible somewhere? I'll have to look it up. But ignorance is in the Bible. And I see a lot of it around me these days. Lots of it. I said to somebody last night, "You've got to remember, when I am looking at something, I'm looking at something through a biblical worldview." And I said, "You've got to remember something about me. I'm a shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd of the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so I shepherd the flock. I care about my flock." And who's my flock? As one person said, your parish or your pastorate, your congregation is the whole country. Okay. I'll go for that. Well, I don't want to see them harmed. I don't want to see my flock sheared. I don't want to see my flock abused or any such things. And for all of us, that's what the Lord wants to have, that kind of heart in us. That's the heart of Jesus in us, more or less. Okay. I got to pull this to an end here. I could go on and on, as you well know. And I certainly want to. But I think I've given you enough food to eat for today. And I'll just say it this way. Oh, Jesus, help us to be more joyous. Help us not to succumb to anger. Because we realize that anger produces nothing good. And we certainly don't ask the powers that be. We don't ask the government. We don't ask the pastor. We don't ask anyone else to grant this plea that we're presenting to you now. We ask it of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.